people may be fed once more. In your daughter's son, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I see bad dad and bad parents because some of us kids pick up on and we wonder, why do they turn out the way they turn out? Mm. But never realizing that it was the example that we led them and gave them. Mm. So, you know, in our house, if something goes, we have food or something that goes bad in the refrigerator, you can smell it because when you open the refrigerator, what happens?
It stinks.
Stinks, smell like something died up in there. And there are the ways that we use to distinguish what is bad. We don't just throw the whole everything in the refrigerator out. We try to find out what it is that has gone bad.
Amen.
And so, when milk is spoiled, it looks like yogurt, right? Mm-hmm. And yogurt is spoiled when it looks like cottage cheese. Mm-hmm. And cottage cheese is spoiled when it starts looking like regular cheese. Mm-hmm. And cheddar cheese is spoiled when we think it's blue cheese, knowing we didn't even buy any blue cheese. But that deals with stuff in the refrigerator, because if it's spoiled, we throw it away. But the issue at hand is, what do we do with a family member that we know is spoiled and is rotten? See, we can't just throw them away.
No, amen.
See, that's the issue we're looking at here in the story of Eli and his sons. See, the tabernacle was set up in the city of Shiloh in Israel, and Eli was a priest there for about 40 years. Mm-hmm. Eli's sons were wicked, and they had no regard for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See,
right.
Eli's sons was guilty of a terrible sin of disobedience,
yes,
to God, and a sin against his people. Mm-hmm. In 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, 13 through 17, it clearly says, now it was the practice of the priest,
that's
and I'm
right.
a paraphrase,
that's good.
It was that when the meat was being boiled, mm-hmm. that they would stick a fork in it, mm-hmm. and whatever was pulled out was given to the priest, mm-hmm. for him to have. And so, this was what was taught and required under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And it was now the thing, that was how things were supposed to be done. And so even before, but the sons, they got to the point where they got greedy.
That's right.
See, they didn't want what was boiled. They wanted to come and get what was before the fat was even burned. Uh-huh. They wanted it while it was raw, so that they could take and do what they wanted with it. Uh-huh. And they even threatened the people, saying, if you don't give it to us, we'll take it by force.
Okay.
So they start forcing people of God who was making sacrifices to God, they start taking stuff and stealing from them by force. And see, we got some people today that still do the same stealing.
My Lord, you better talk. That's good.
They do the same stealing.
For real.
Meaning they don't just steal food because they're not making those offerings today.
That's right.
But what do they steal? They steal your money.
Yes, yes, yes.
They steal your time.
Yes.
They steal your talent.
That's good.
Yes.
Because they will. Because some churches will pimp you for money.
My Lord.
Got it.
And you wonder why. They ride off after the service in big cars and big fancy cars. And we're still catching the bus, some of
my
us.
My Lord.
And some of us are struggling to pay a house note.
Come
or behind on a house note.
Yes, Lord.
Struggling for food in our house.
Yes,
house.
Lord.
But yet and still, the same God that he get up and he throws out at us, we're supposed to accept that and say, well, okay, you know, my turn is coming. Mm. See, God's not going to bless me and bless her.
And not
bless you.
Amen.
Because that's not the God that we serve, and that's not how God operates.
Amen.
Right.
Thank you.
See, everybody that's up here saying, and that, like I said, they're stealing your time and your talent. They have people that faithfully go to these ministries, that do diligently what is requested of them.
Yes.
For no pay. And really don't care to be acknowledged because a lot of them go when nobody else knows they're even there.
Amen.
And so that's why I say that they steal your time and your talent and they use it for their good, but never taking time to make sure that you benefit from it. And I tell you all the time, and this is no secret, I tell this all the time in private. I don't care where God takes me or takes us, I guarantee you the people that was with us
Amen.
Are going with us.
That's it.
Amen.
There's no way I can have something you can't have.
That's right.
Because what's good for me is the true meaning of brotherhood. Is what's good for my brother is good for me.
Amen.
And what I have for myself, I want for my brother.
Amen.
Amen.
So Eli's sons, they were stealing by force. And so, knowingly or unknowingly, he may have known and he may not have known. But basically, these two sons of Eli's mm-hmm. were bad young men.
Yes, they were.
They forced themselves upon the meat of the temple, mm-hmm. the ladies at the temples, the people were abused by the sons.
Mm-hmm.
God's place was desecrated.
Yes, it was.
And God's provisions were stolen.
Mm-hmm. My Lord.
God was so displeased with their behavior, he sent a prophet warning to Eli.
Mm-hmm.
But Eli didn't take the proper action.
Yes, he did.
All he did was talk.
Mm.
He said to his boys, "Why do you do such things?
Mm.
I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours." "No, my sons, it is not a good report I hear amongst the people." See, when you know that your children are doing something outside of the will of God, sometimes we can talk and get our message across, but sometimes there comes a time when talking has to cease.
Amen, amen.
Because if I don't talk to you and I know what you're doing and you continue to do it, then I got to move on to something that's much stronger than talking.
All right, right. All right.
Because that tells me now that talking alone ain't going to get it.
That's right.
And see, based on what they were doing at the times they were doing it, it should not have just been the talking to.
Amen.
See, whatever position they held, they should have been set down from those positions.
All right. All
right. See, you can't get up and do God's work and do God's will and you live in any kind of way, doing any kind of thing, expect the right result from it.
Amen.
See, they should have been sat down. There's nothing wrong to be sat down from a position.
Right. That's right.
It's not wrong. Because she'll tell you, I have set myself down.
That's right. Amen.
And people probably wondering, well, why come he's not preaching? And why come he's not giving the word?
Come on.
Because I told her, I set myself down.
That's it.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with being sat down.
That's right.
So God can get you right, purge you.
Amen. You better talk.
Take the rebuke and get back up as you become stronger in God.
Amen.
And that you can lead his people the right and proper way.
Amen.
See, sometimes we got to give a stern, we got to be stern with our kids. Because being passive sometimes, they didn't do it this time, they're going to get it next time.
Uh-huh.
But you're not realizing because you was passive and what you passed on could cause them to lose their lives down the road.
That's it.
See, I remember when I was a young child, living in the country, I mean deep country. I'm from the deep country of Georgia. I had a cousin that lived on a farm. And we were able to go to the farm, and they had two horses and a wagon. And we could get on that wagon and ride that wagon all over the field all day long. But his dad always gave us this one instruction. At the end of the field that's fenced in by another fence with those red flags, don't go in that area. Because there are water wells that has been dug and covered in there, and you may fall in that well, and there'll be nobody there to save you. So, you know, being kids, one day we said, well, when his father leaves, we're going to go down that way anyway on the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
We take the wagon and the horses, and we go down that way. Just disobeying his father's orders that he gave us, his one rule. That's only the one rule we had to follow. We decided we're going to go down that way.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknown to us, somebody saw us there and told the father
all right now.
What happened. The father comes down there and catches down there. And a painful lesson that I learned that day was be obedient.
Amen.
People give you instruction, kids.
That's right.
Because know what his father did? He said, I'll take the two horses to the house. But you all bring the wagon back.
Oh, Lord.
And when I'm talking about bringing the wagon back on those old country fields, mm-hmm. it was like 3-4 football, a good quarter of a mile,
yeah.
that we had to pull that wagon back. See, after all that pain I had in my legs and my shoulders from pulling that wagon, that quarter of a mile, I learned then that some rules are meant to protect you.
That's
because we could have easily went down there, fell in the well with the horses or with the wagon, and drowned in a well, mm-hmm. and not have been able to get up. And by any time anybody would have even known, we would have been dead down there.
Amen.
So when your parents tell you all to stay away from danger, that doesn't always mean they want you to stay away because they don't want you to know what's on the other side or what's going on there. It's because it's for your protection. Uh-huh. And you all may not understand it because right now, because myself, Alicia tell me, well, you may not understand it now, Dwayne, but you understand it better by
yeah,
and by.
Yeah.
See, now I understand now that I'm older, yeah. but by and by.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can look back and remember when they told me, well, you know, why you couldn't do this, mm-hmm. why you shouldn't go there.
That's it.
And stuff. And believe me, to this very day, I have not went back to that field. To this very day, I have not even passed in that direction of that field. Because that was a lesson I learned. Uh-huh. And so, see, some things, when there's pain of parents, I'm telling you, when some things, when pain is applied to it, mm-hmm. like the rod,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. Believe me,
if it's to the point where they feel the pain, they'll remember that sting, even though they get that point again, they'll say, well, I don't know what happened last time. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to deal with this again this time. See, if Eli would have dealt with his son's disobedience, he probably could have stopped them, well, he could have stopped them from what they were doing. And he could have saved their lives.
Yeah.
Because, see, based on their wickedness and what they were doing, God had said he's going to kill them.
Uh-huh, he sure did.
But had he stopped the process of what his sons were doing, mm-hmm. he could have saved their lives.
Amen.
So when you know your sons and your daughters or your loved ones is doing something that you know is outside of the will of God, yeah. or you know that it can lead to their death, mm-hmm. especially if they're doing something that you know they're standing in a position uh-huh. to influence others.
That's it.
And to change other people's lives, mm-hmm. and they're outside of the will, they can destroy not just themselves, but the people that they're leading.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so my thing of it is, see, had he stopped and taken a moment to not just talk to his kids and chastise his kids and not spare the rod or either whatever it was at that time he could have done. Because like I said, he could have set them down from their positions. Or either told them that you can no longer serve in my house no more.
My Lord.
And believe me, that would have been strong enough to get their attention to say, well, you know something? Mom, Dad, they're not playing. They really mean what they're talking about today. So I really need to be focused and pay attention to what they're saying to me today. God tell us that if we want to be the best for our children, when they are rebellious and disobedient, we got to do more than talking. Proverbs 19 and 18 warn us, discipline your son. For in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. See, sometimes talking alone just ain't gonna do it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And see, it even goes on in the church.
My Lord.
Because I'm gonna talk about my situations, because I can relate to it. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up in my old church that I came from when I was growing up, we had a deacon that was having an affair.
My Lord.
And the church knew about it. So when it came to light, two of the elders decided to set him down from the deacon board. But when they set him down, the head elder of the church, was out of town on vacation. So when he came back, he came before the board pleading for them to put the deacon back on the deacon board. So they gave in to it. I later found out later on in life that everybody in town knew he was having an affair. But his cousin that was the head elder thought he was doing him a favor. But he wasn't doing him a favor.
No, he wasn't.
He was teaching him that he can do anything that he wants to do.
That's right. Go ahead.
And still get up and serve God.
Yes.
See, in this life right here, you can't do what you want to do and not serve God.
No, you can't.
That's right.
See, amen.
If the deacon would have died in his mess, had he not repented in his mess, because he never got before anybody and told anybody that he was sorry, he just got back on the deacon board.
And that right.
And continued to do what he wanted to do. So if he dies in that mess, what do you think he's going to lift his eyes up? I don't have a heaven or hell to put it in, man, but the word says people that commit those type of things will wind up hell is where they lift their eyes up at. So my thing of it is, we can't just put people back in positions because I know you.
Amen.
Or because I like you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give you a special favor because I think you dance better or you beat the drum better. I can't do that. Everything has to be done in order.
Amen.
And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if you get sat down, you have to be sat down until you're correct, until you correct the behavior to come back to the position that you was at.
Amen.
Because if not, that's just leading you down a trail to think that you can do whatever you want to and continue to serve as you want.
That's right.
And God is not a God like that.
Amen. That's good.
See, I don't believe Eli had it in his mind, or he thought that he was destroying his sons by allowing them to do that. He figured, well, if I talk to them, they're going to understand. But he was leading them to their destruction. He played a part in it because he could have stopped it.
Yes.
He had a role in it. He may not want to say, well, tell you, well, they were grown men. But even as grown men, mom, you're going to always be mom. I tell my kids, I'm always going to be dad.
That's it.
So in my house, and if me and my wife, if we're following God, in my house, you're going to follow God.
Amen.
And if you're not, you're going to go and get it under your own roof.
What you want.
So if you're still in my house and you're following under my covering,
that's it.
Then you're going to follow my orders.
Amen.
And I'm going to lead and direct the way God directs me to lead.
Amen.
So if it comes to the point where I got to cut you loose for what you've done, I got to lose some people along the way. And some of us kids, some of your mothers and some of the other older people or mature people in here can tell you, they got some friends along the way that they had to drop.
Amen. Amen.
And you're going to have some people that you're going to meet along this life that you're going to drop down the road.
That's right.
Because when you get to an age and you realize that this person is doing nothing but tugging and pulling on you, and the way you want to go, they want to take you another way. And you don't have to use, God give you all discernment of spirit,
that's
even
right.
As children.
That's right. Yes,
because let me tell you something. You all know right from wrong.
Yes. Yes.
And when you all do something wrong, a lot of times, the reason you all lie, not because you just want to lie, you all lie because you all trying to protect your backside from a chastisement that may be coming your way for what you did wrong. Eli had a problem. And we were given a hint of what that problem was in 1 Samuel 16 and 18. They were told of the outcome of the battle of Israel who fought against the Philistines. One man fled from the fight and informed Eli, "I've just come from the battle line." And that's 1 Samuel 14, 4th verse, 4th chapter, verse 16 through 18. And Eli asked, "What happened, my son?" And the man who brought the news replied, "Israel fled before the Philistines, and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons are dead, and the ark of God has been captured." When he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell backwards off his chair.
Yeah, because there were blessings
by the side of the gate, and he broke his neck. And he died. And he was an old man. They said he was an old and heavy man. And he led Israel for 40 years. I don't think it was by accident that the Bible tells us Eli was a heavy man. How did Eli become heavy?
He was still the fool.
He was still in the sacrifices.
That's right. Hello. He was still.
Because if you remember in 1 Samuel, the second chapter, 29th, in 1 Samuel, the second chapter, the 29th verse, he rebuked Eli. And he said, "Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offerings that I have prescribed for my dwelling? And why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves?"
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the clear indication that he was still in the sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
See, Eli knew his son was robbing the sacrifice. And Eli was heavy because he probably shared in the food that they had taken from the sacrifice.
Yes, Lord.
See, he may not have realized how bad and how bold his boys were doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
of taking the food from the sacrifice. He might not have known they was taking it by force, but he shared and he took part of the sin that they were committing. It's hard to rebuke your children for sin.
What you say?
If you don't confront it yourself.
What you say?
It's hard to confront children who lie when the parents take part in the lie themselves. Y'all know we all probably have been there at some point in our lives. When you go to the movie.
That's it.
When you go to the restaurant.
That's it.
Yeah. They're younger than what they're supposed to be.
I did at the restaurant.
So you want to get a lesser price to get in?
I did. Me too.
We've been there.
Sure did.
Let's be honest about it. It's hard to control the attitude problem of a child when the parent is losing control of themselves.
What you said.
It's hard to talk to your kids about drugs if you're getting high yourself.
That's good. That's so true.
Now we need to be honest with ourselves here. There isn't a person in this building that is without sin.
Amen.
We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Thus
we are all going to, therefore we all have messed up as parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, somewhere along this line in our interactions with our family.
That's right.
The problem is not in our sinning or our falling short as parents or aunts or uncles or grandparents. The problem comes when we don't want to fess up and admit to our faults. We don't want to admit our sin.
That's right.
And we don't want to ask for forgiveness.
That's it.
For what we've done wrong.
Repent either.
See, that's where the problems come in at. The best way to change the destructive nature of our own shortcoming is to own up to the fact that we've been wrong, we've done wrong, and say I sinned, I admit my sin, and I ask for forgiveness. Amen. That's simple. Amen. That's just plain
elementary.
101. Elementary 101. Biblical 101.
Amen. That's it.
Forgiveness.
That's it.
Ask for forgiveness. Because we all fall short.
That's it.
Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sin will not prosper. It says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whomever confess and forsake them will have mercy. And so Eli failed his sons because he refused to discipline them, and they all ended up facing the wrath of God. But ultimately, Eli's biggest problem was that he loved his children more than he loved God.
Amen.
Clearly it says in Samuel 2:29, why do you honor your sons more than me? See, Matthew 10:37 says, hear Jesus talking, anyone who loves his father, a mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his sons or daughters more than me is not worthy of me. Is Jesus saying that we shouldn't love our kids?
No, he's not.
See, God is our Father, and he's given us an example of how parents ought to love their children.
Amen.
We're told in 1 John 3:1.
All right.
How great is the love the Father hath lavished on us, that we shall be called children of God.
Amen.
And that is what we are.
Amen.
I tell you all, you all are all little guys. Because you all are from the big G.O.D. So you all have the power, like I tell you all the time, you all have the power to do anything you want to.
Amen.
You have to believe, but most important of all, you have to believe in God.
Amen.
And trust in God in all things. And then you organize your mind, your thought, and your talent and put it into action, and anything is possible.
Amen.
Anything. There's nothing wrong with loving our kids. Sometimes we may not even, some of us may not even love our kids enough.
I know.
That's right.
That's good.
But the fact of the matter is, whenever we love our children more than God, we are setting up our children and our families for failure.
Amen.
There are people who say that they don't want to force their faith on their children. They want them to grow up and make their own minds about whether they're going to accept their parents' religion or even accept religious, period. That's a lie from the pit.
Amen. You better say it.
Granted, there's nothing. Granted, there is some wrong ways to teach your kids about God.
You better
and there's some wrong ways to teach the kids about the faith of God.
Amen. Let's find
them. I'm going to give you 10 ways. My top 10 ways.
Amen.
Of turning your children away from your relationship with God.
Go ahead.
Number 10, schedule your personal and family events to conflict with the church services and activities.
Talk, Pastor.
9, don't get too close to anyone in church. Refrain from developing relationships with others in church so your children won't learn to the joy and benefits of fellowshipping with one another.
Wow. Come on.
8, often look at your watch during church service and complain bitterly and look annoyed and freak out when church lasts longer than you thought that it should.
That's
it.
That's it.
Tithe and financially support the church in its missions the same way you pay your bills. Because you know what? I'm going to be honest. I got to pay the phone bill again.
Come on,
it's time for the light bill again.
Again?
Yeah. It's time to do this again.
Time to get my tithes again.
Mm.
That's it.
Number 6. Do the best that you can do to make sure your kids arrive on time for football.
All right.
Children to practice.
What did you say?
And school events. But don't worry about what time they show
up.
Go
ahead, Pastor Hooks. You preach it now.
That's good.
Number 5. Bring your family to church only when 8. You have nothing better to do.
What?
B, there is a personal need. And C, you just feeling outright guilty.
Wow.
Okay. 4, don't volunteer for anything or make any kind of long-term commitment to the church. Huh. Remember, you got to keep your options open to do the things that are important to you.
That's it. Wow. That was it.
Number 3, change churches every few years.
What'd you say?
Two, remind your children of how imperfect the church leaders are and regularly point out their faults.
Alright, that's it.
Say that again.
That's
say
it.
That again.
That's it.
And the number 1 thing is, and whatever you do, don't let the church influence the way you live.
Wow.
See, those are some bad examples.
Yes, it is. Yes.
But see, you think that your kids don't watch when you
watch
things.
Everything.
Yes, they
you
are.
Think people don't listen when you talk about people.
Uh-huh.
And you say certain things and do certain things.
All right.
See, your mouth and your actions say more than you want them to say.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Facial expressions, all that.
See,
right.
You can say you don't like me.
Uh-huh.
Or you can say that you love me.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can go home and say, you know, you remember this right here, what they said about him? I believe that. And he did this and he did that, or she did this and they talk like this right here and they done that to me. See, but then you come back next Sunday and you love me all over again.
What you say?
But you got that little child right there.
Lord Jesus, you didn't talk all
confused
day.
Confused in the middle.
Wow. That's good,
because,
Pastor.
Because, know something? She loved Pastor on Sunday.
Yes.
But boy, did she drag it from her from Monday.
Wow, Jesus.
From Saturday.
Yes, all right.
My Lord.
So the child is confused what I want to love on you.
I hate on.
And what I want to stay away from you. That's because now I see Mama loving on you, but Mama going to talk about you when she gets home. I know that.
That's good.
So I'm telling you all, y'all got to be careful of the things that we do.
No.
Because believe me, these kids are paying attention.
Yes, they are. Amen.
In Deuteronomy 6:6, God instructs his people, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you are along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a symbol on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. It means always embed upon your kids every day the goodness of God.
Amen.
The laws of God.
Amen.
And what God expects from them and what God requires of them.
Mm-hmm.
See, God do expect us to push our faith on our families.
Amen.
Because we have to teach our kids who
God
is.
That's right.
Because if you don't teach your kids who God is, how do you expect them to respect somebody they don't even know
about? Amen.
How can they call on somebody at a time of trouble if they don't even know who to call on in trouble?
That's it.
See, it's good to be able to call on Mama if you got in trouble.
Uh-huh.
But see, mama can't always get you out of trouble.
Amen.
There's some trouble that only God going to be able to get you
amen.
Out of.
Amen.
See, and, but if you don't know who to call on, because you so used to call it mama,
mm-hmm.
or call it 911, then you don't have the power to exercise your faith.
That's it.
Because you don't have what faith? Because you have no faith. See, you got to be able to get some word in order to tap into heaven.
Amen.
You just can't decide today, I heard about God, and I'm going to call out his name, and he going to answer my prayer. Because you got to be able to put something in the thing to get something out of it.
That's it. That's it.
And that means you have to submit your life to the will of God. See, my parents did it, and I'm pretty sure a lot of your parents have done it or is doing it. Me and my wife did it, and I'm encouraging you all to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Press upon your kids the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
What God expects from them.
That's right.
What God wants for them.
Yes, Lord.
I'm about to get out of y'all's way as I close.
That's
good.
I want to make a confession. This is probably the first time I ever made this confession public. I had a drug problem when I was a young man, when I was a teenager. Look at me now, I think I turned out pretty well. See, let me tell you what my drug problem was.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was drugged at church on Sunday morning. I was drunk at church on Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm.
I was drugged at church to Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
I was drugged to vacation Bible school.
Mm-hmm.
I was drugged to the altar to learn to pray and read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and I also was drugged into my parents' bedroom when I disobeyed my parents.
That's good.
Told a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Brought home a bad report card.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with disrespect to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke ill of someone. See, those drugs are still in my vein today. And they affect my behavior to this very day in everything I do and say. And I thank my parents to this very day for drugging me. Because like I say now, as I look back, as I was being drugged from church, see, not a bad drug. It was teaching me about God.
Amen.
Who was the sustainer of my life. And they just tell me, oh, I know you may not have understood it today.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what I said earlier. But by and by, you understand it.
Right.
See, now I understand where all that dread, when you all feel like they dragging me out again, they bringing me to church again. Mama, Jalen, Mama, we going to church again?
The church
can
be old.
See, you may not understand it now, Jalen. But believe me, down the road, you understand it better by and by, my young man.
Amen.
Amen.
See, the world would be in a better shape today if those were the type of drugs that we had going on.
Yes, that's right.
Because then, if they had that type of drug going on, they had the knowledge of God,
yes.
The drugs of the world would not be killing them because
amen.
That drug is only to seek, kill, and destroy.
That's it.
And see, if you get that kind of thing, if you get that kind of drug, and you get the word of God and you see, you can overcome those problems that you have with those other things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
See, because that's the power. The word of God is power.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you get that and apply it to your life, you start exercising that in your life, you can change any situation that you're in.
That's
it. See, whenever you put children, sports, school, leisure time, careers, or whatever it is ahead of God, will in your lives, then you're getting in trouble with God because you're ultimately only hurting yourself and your children. In closing, it's amazing that in the backdrop of Eli's failure to raise his boys properly is the story of another family. See, isn't God good?
Yes, he is.
See, there was a woman in Israel named Hannah.
All right.
And she was barren.
Yes.
She had no children and she was desperate to have a child. So Hannah went to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, to plead to God for a son. And see in 1 Samuel, the first chapter, verse 10 through 11, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant, misery, and remember me, and not forgive your servant, but give her a son, and I will give him to you, Lord, for all the days of his life, and no razor would ever be used on his head. In contrast, Eli attempted to protect his sons from God. Hannah was willing to give her son to God.
Yes, that's good.
See, Eli's sons died. Hannah's son Samuel became one of the greatest prophets and leader of Israel. Eli's sons lost their homes and their family.
Yes, Lord.
Hannah boy changed the world, changed the nation, and he received God's blessing. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we got to give our kids over to God.
Amen.
It's good to give them over at a young age, that way you have time to teach and raise them. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when they get to maturity and they're out on their own.
Come on. Amen. That's it.
You can only talk and pray to them. And you put it in God's hand and you give them to God.
Amen.
And like I say always, the chastisement of this world. There are things that you're going to face in this life. God has a way of bringing things to remembrance.
Yes,
yes, he does.
See, this cruel world that we live in, at some point along this road, you're going to run into a roadblock on your own. And see, when this world beats you up,
come on, that's good.
Through brokenness, there is some point along the line that, like I say, somebody planted a seed in you about God's word. Mama always in my ear nagging about God, and I don't want to hear all this stuff about Jesus and stuff. But somewhere down the road, when you hit that roadblock in the road, or you hit that wall,
come on,
or situation or circumstances that you put yourself in, causes you to be at a dead end where there is no way that you can go. You're in a place that nobody can help you but God.
Amen.
See, God has a way of putting you in a situation that nobody else can help him, but nobody else can help you but him.
That's right.
And see, when you get put in that situation, you know it ain't nobody but God that you're in that
amen.
Situation.
Yes. God.
See, and I promise, I'm sitting down. I'm often reminded because I remember it's been about 42 years ago. I was probably 4 or 5 years at the time. In the church that I used to go to, they were laying a sidewalk out in the front of the sidewalk. In front of the church. They were laying a sidewalk out in front of the church. And the day they poured the sidewalk, the pastor had all the kids, had all the parents bring the kids to the church. And they took the kids, the little kids, and they took and we stepped into the concrete on the sidewalk facing the church. And every Sunday, we used to go to that church, and our parents would always remind us, see your footsteps right there?
That's good.
You see your footsteps there? Mm-hmm. It is my desire that God would always be the one that leads you.
Amen.
You would always follow those footsteps to the house of God.
All right.
So I tell you all, be mindful to always follow God in all that you do.
Yes, Lord.
In everything you do, be led by God.
That's right.
Whether it's a new idea, whether it's a new invention, whether it's a new job, or whether it's a new career, whatever it may be, always put God first.
Amen.
Pray that He leads you in the direction that you need to go. Because if you let God lead you, believe me, you're not going to fail him.
Amen.
Because if you think that because, oh, he failed me because I didn't get that position, or I didn't go that, this time that favor didn't work for me, it ain't because God failed you.
No.
It's because that door closed in your face provided the momentum for you to go to the next place.
Come on, that's good.
See, because every time a door is closed don't always mean that the door is closed.
Amen.
That door is closed because God's trying to elevate you to
another
position. That if you had taken that place that you
come
went into
on,
and settled for it, you never would have became the person
Amen.
Or never did the desires or never fulfilled your
that's
purpose
good.
In life that God gave you.
Amen.
And like I say, always,
yes,
always keep God first in all you do. And as always, I pray against everything that wants to cripple your life in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And I come against it And I arrest it, and I send forth divine healing into your life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.